The Nation's number one talk station, 99.3, Nigeria Info. Very lovely morning to you, Lagos. It's 7:31 from our studios here, and we bid you welcome to the second part of the list today. I'm Sharif Quadri.
I'm Jimmy Disu. You want to blast my ears?
Sorry, sir. Sorry, sir.
Is it deliberate? You want to make me deaf?
No, definitely not.
Well, I think
I mean, how will I make requests if you're... No way.
No, I think with my short-sightedness and other things that we cannot discuss, I think I have enough of ailments that are deafness. Morning, everybody. Morning, everybody. It's good to be here.
All right. So you can watch us on Facebook, which you can also watch us on YouTube as well. Nigeria Info 99.3. Just type that in and you'll be able to join us and drop your comments. We're going to start with a punch. Page 2 of the punch. Subject... Presidential candidates, others to psychiatric tests, NMA.
Now, this is not anybody being funny. This is actually the Nigerian Medical Association. And they are calling for evaluation of psychiatric evaluation of governorship and presidential candidates. And I align myself with it 100%. This is what the NMA president said. He says the battery of tests that candidates should undergo to ascertain their state of health and fitness are simple medical checkups as chest X-ray, cardiac echocardiography, abdominal ultrasound scan, urinalysis, kidney function test, liver function test, blood pressure, that is very important, and blood glucose assessment, and give one a comprehensive view of the state of the body system. Sadly, and listen to this. This is quite, you know, this is something that I always refer to. Sadly, people are applying for a top-level job like chief medical director or medical director in a public service are made to undergo these tests, while those contesting for executive and legislative posts don't. I think we need to take a second look at that. Like I always say, I mean, if the minimum for me is somebody who is fit to run a multinational. That's the minimum for me. Because governance is now business of some sort. But we'll get back to it. And it says that we also want them to go psychiatric evaluation. We can see whether they're not crazy or anything. This shall exhaustively evaluate the people vying for the ultimate job in Nigeria. And it gives an indication on how who would do the test and so on and so forth. And that they can give the NMA the responsibility to set up a panel to look at these issues. It's a full page story on the punch. The Director General of the Nigerian Institute of International Affairs, Professor Egosa Sagai, called for enforced medical checkup for would-be Nigerian leaders. Say most of them were suffering from chronic diseases. Mm-hmm. And speaking to the punch, the Emeritus Professor of Political Science, Professor Igwe, says, to take up appointment in the university, army, in any company, you need a medical certificate of fitness. And these are essentially policy implementation. A human rights activist in Nibehe, Efiong, argued that medical checks was not a constitutional requirement. Neither is it part of the requirements for seeking public office. It is not everything that you do in a country that is part of the constitution. A country can also have its own norms. They can have its own protocols. There is nothing to say that we can all have an agreement. Surely it's minimum to say that, look, if you want to acquire for this job, you should have... but we are the people who should be demanding it. Voters should start saying that they will not cast their votes for anybody whose medical condition they are not sure of. If we start the pressure, we might just get away with it. Because this is the senior advocate of Nigeria, Mazim Afambo Sigwe. He says there that we pay attention to useless things. It will achieve what to have these, I don't know, there's a bit bad written there. But what he also goes on to say that it does not appear that most of our leaders are of sound mind. So I personally favor any conditional amendment that would provide for a process where those seeking public offices are mandatorily subjected. There's some good news, though. The story here says that some political parties have also accepted the idea and expressed their preparedness to work with the agency, that's with the NDLEA, on this. And it says that the APC, the African Action Congress, and the Labour Party said their candidates are willing and ready to submit themselves to the drug integrity test proposed by the NDLEA. All said and done, there's so much insanity in the air. Since I won't be mentioning names, I can say it as it is. There is so much insanity with some present and future leaders based on just their statements alone. If you look at the actions of some of our leaders, you'll be amazed. And then if you see some of the things that happen, sorry to go personal, how does a man in public office acquire 40 houses? I mean, I spoke yesterday, I was having a chit chat with Kanayo, who I'm going to bring next week, because he put out a broadcast. And in it, he was saying to everybody that with your eyes now, you can see somebody, 40 houses are taken from him. If you like, continue to cast your votes for such people. But I ask myself, if it is true,
yeah,
and some of the things that are ascribed to people as the things that they own, I sit down and ask myself and say, how many things do you... There must be something missing for the level of acquisition of a lot of our leaders who have acquired this with public money, in full glare of the public. But let's move on to the next story.
Yes, please. Panorama page is where we are right now. Page 7. There is no division in Afenifere, Ebisheni secretary.
Kasala Dumbos, this is a new direction now. Shola Ebisemi is the Secretary General of Afenifere, and he has another full page. The Punch is very interesting today. He has a full page interview in The Punch. And I won't give any comments. I've done that already, but just to highlight some things that he said. He said that the meeting in Akure, now Ebisemi is the secretary, okay? He says that the meeting in Akure was not an Afenifere meeting, but it was a blessing to both Afenifere and Pafachonroti. He says, I will tell you this, in Pafachonroti's house, we have a tradition. When an important guest is to visit Fachonroti, he will call some of us his immediate political children, some of us who are residents in Ondo State, and I have been there several times. Now, there's a small heading here. Fachonroti rejected the cornerstone. He says, on Saturday thereabouts, he didn't say who they are, they now came to the same Fachonroti they never accepted as a leader. They worshipped at his altar, removed their caps, and allowed him to place his hands on them in repentance. What they have come to do is repentance. What they have come to do is admit that they have erred. Normally, Fachonroti invited some of the people that sat with him. It was not an Afenifere meeting. How is it therefore a blessing to Afenifere? Before now, the impression had been created that Afenifere was not relevant in the scheme of things. Afenifere could not dictate for Yoruba. Afenifere could not do this or that. However, they are going through the background to seek the face of the same Afenifere. He never said who these are. He talked about how Afenifere handed over to Adebanjo. You can find time to read that. You know, I'm in a race for time here. But another part is this question. I want you to listen carefully. This is very crucial. You all know the meeting we are talking about, where it was said that Afenifere had blessed the APC leader and, you know, was rooting for him. He says, now this is the secretary, Ebisemi. He says, as I told you, the meeting that was held was not an Afenifere meeting. This reminds me of the bishops. Yes. He says, the notice of that meeting was issued in the name of a WhatsApp group, Conscience of Yoruba Nation. Those who expressed political inclination at any time were gathered in the WhatsApp group, and my brother Akola Momololu said he was the director general. He issued a meeting. I saw the notice.
Yeah.
It was written by my good friend there. It was also there, Daddy Babarin. He says, said that he issued a meeting and told people that are going to hold a meeting in respect of Achiwa Jubala Tinubu's presidency and Pachoroti have agreed to preside over the meeting. The duration of that meeting was 11 to 1, 2 hours. My brother, I told you there was one that was debated from, and then it goes on and on and on. He says, is that an endorsement? Baba has the power to bless anyone. I give you an example, and he gives examples, and so on and so forth. Now, another question. Why Afenifere endorsed Peter Obi? He says, Fashion Rodin, his handover speech, said one of the tasks confronting us is to stop a section of the country from dominating Nigeria. Look at the domination from Shehu Shagari, Yaradua to Buhari. Can't you see a section of the country? And if you come to the south, you see it from Shonekan or Basonjo or Shibado down the line, and you now say Yoruba Lokan. How can you run a country like that? So according to the secretary, the secretary, there was no endorsement for the APC leader. So this thing continues.
Okay.
But you know, you and I spoke about whether these groups are relevant or not. But this makes interesting news for us.
Yeah.
And interesting analysis. Why are you looking at me straight in the eye like
that? No, not at all. I was just listening to you.
Listen, you're supposed to answer me.
I'm listening, call and response. I wanted to hear the ancestors' point of view.
I'm enjoying myself. I won't lie to you.
Yeah.
This makes interesting reading. But I think that I think people, the politicians, need to concentrate on the voters.
Okay.
I think the days of any having an actor endorse you or a footballer endorse you, I don't know what that. I think people are.
Apparently, it has impact.
You think so?
Yeah. Well, if it doesn't have impact, they won't be doing it. I mean.
So if does it mean that if Jide Kosoko endorses Richard Mofe-Damijo, if he endorses a candidate, it will make people vote for him.
Oh, yes, yes.
In Nigeria.
Yes.
The thought is this. The sad part of it is this. These actors and, you know, personalities, you think, of course, include people like you and I.
Yeah.
There is a perception, which is unfortunate because they have the right to endorse anybody, but there's a perception that is done for monetary reasons. So very few people, take any notice of it. Apart from the fact that, okay, don't go collect in your own. That's what you get. People are more skeptical because of the level of awareness and the level of suffering and the attention that people are giving to 2023. They are not ready to, I don't think most people are ready to. It's like, okay, so you don't go collect in your own. Fair enough. Good luck to him.
We have a very limited time, right? Otherwise, yes. I would have said that maybe we should have a podcast on some of this. So we can have plenty of time. So, there's that perception. Yes, there's even a possibility that this endorsement given after payment must have been made. Yes, there's a possibility of that. There's also the reason why they are celebrities is because there are people who worship these people. Whatever they say is the Holy Grail, whatever they say is final. If they say I'm endorsing this person, trust me, there are people that will say, ah, RMD has endorsed this person, I must vote for this person.
Yeah, right.
I mean, there may not be many,
yes,
but there are people that would say, ah, since this person has said, I must vote for this person.
So who are you going to endorse? First of all, will you do endorsement with or without money?
I can never endorse anybody. Like, I can never endorse anybody.
Yes.
Yeah, because, see, the thing about politics or about endorsing people is that you're putting your credibility on the line.
On the line and your reputation, yes. Yeah, you're tying it to them.
Listen, this thing is out of your hands. It's out of your control. There's nothing you can do about it. Because you don't know what the person would eventually do, how the person would eventually perform.
Yes.
Even if the person wants to perform, you don't know the elements around the person that may want to, that are bent on making the person fail.
Mm.
I mean, you know what the person is bringing to the table, but you're not exactly sure. You're not in control of the dynamics around the person.
I have one maxim, and it's a guiding principle. Never trust a politician. That's it. Never trust a politician. Once you have that at the back of your mind, you will know how to guide yourself.
Yeah.
But having said that, even if I'm not likely to endorse anybody, but I'm like, I don't mind showing direction in which people should not go. I believe I owe my people that. I don't mind showing direction that's come. This place, if you head in this direction, this is what happened. But at the end of the day, the decision is yours. So what I'm not endorsing, I don't mind showing my people that not go there. I mean, that's the least I can do.
Yeah.
But there is a maxim, and I repeat it, even for those that politicians are using now, never trust a politician. Period.
Mm. Period.
Period. Don't trust me.
Tony, straight.
Hey, look at I think you're making fun of me.
No, I like the period part. The period.
I know it's a very short one.
Yes.
Never trust a politician. End of story. Yeah.
There are some of them who are really good, who you could say to a very large extent that they can bring something to the table. They are bringing something to the table. But like I said earlier, what you cannot say, what you cannot determine is whether they will be able to do that they promised. It's not because they don't want to do it.
Or if they can't do it, would leave it in principle.
Exactly.
Whether you would have a politician who will say that, look, okay, so somebody made me, assisted me in becoming governor. He's breathing down my neck. I haven't seen. So it still comes back to the maxim, never trust a politician.
Yeah, period.
Every man for himself and God for us all. Mm. Make everybody be in papa name.
Daily choice is next. You didn't have to add that one.
I know how we got money there, papa.
Let's go to Daily Choice, Space 6. Courts convict EFCC chairman of contempt for contempt. The writers say Bao appeals ruling. I'm not aware of court ruling, IGP.
I wish we could get liberals here. Or my very good friend, Candid Johnson. Or GT, because this is very funny. And I'd like to be corrected, please, if there's a lawyer. What I think I know about contempt of court, having covered the courts before in my much, much younger days, is that once you are convicted of a contempt of court, the police take you away. You're going straight to the correctional center. That is my understanding. So this writer that says that I'm not aware of the court order by the Inspector General, I find it funny and laughable. Present in the court at the very least as the orderly of the judge, and there are policemen there. So once you are convicted for contempt, even in cases where maybe lawyers derail and you are convicted, they are going straight from there. They are being guided to the court. That didn't happen. Some people are blaming the EFCC chairman for not submitting himself. Do you want him to drive himself to prison? It's the court that failed. It is the court process that failed. And if the IGP says he's not aware, it is true that he doesn't have to be aware. The system has to take care of itself. So I don't blame the EFCC chairman who arrogantly walked out of the court and said, oh, we are going to appeal. I don't think that is how the justice system... The ruling must first of all be applied. I mean, what is the
enforced
word that they use? Enforced. Right there and
right,
then.
Right. Right.
You have a marshal. Right. I don't know what names we call them. You do have people. Even those of the correctional center could be there, but the police definitely will be there. And he was convicted, the contempt of court, for disobeying a court order. Now, he now sent out a press release saying, oh, trying to explain, we did this, we did that. When you appeal, you can do all that. Don't explain to us. Explain to the court. But that is the Nigeria that we are living in. There is laws for certain set of people and laws for others. And it is very unfortunate. Like you, this morning I heard you, and I just sat at the edge of my bed. I was shaking my head. People, we are not even sure what kind of government we want to have. It is not the government kind of government that we have in the first instance. It's the kind of people. The discipline. The discipline. In countries that we tend to want to copy, nobody is above the law. If the son of the queen could be indicted in the United Kingdom, I mean, what are we talking about?
Well, I mean, what?
The biological son, no, not yeah. what... Yeah. Son or this, you know, the biological son of the Queen. And they follow the law to the letter. So that is what I'd like to be corrected if a lawyer can come. But I believe that once the judge had given the ruling, and was straightening, then you can appeal. If you can appeal within 2 hours, if you can rush around and do whatever legal antics, fair enough. Mm. But it was, and let us even say that happened. Couldn't we, for the sake of exhibition, for the sake of photo ops, have him taken to the, when he gets to the correctional center, they won't put him inside jail now. But there won't be anybody there. They'll give him a nice air-conditioned office to sit whilst they could take up the appeal this morning, bring magazines for him to read, even put TV and whatever. He can watch Netflix all night. Just for the ops. But we are a lawless country. So all this thing about a new president itself, we need to start from the basics. And that is my impression about this. There was no need for the PRO of the NDLEA to, he doesn't owe us any explanation. He doesn't owe us any explanation. If the system allows me to go home like that, I will go home. If they're not careful, say, Mameho. I would have crossed the border. You understand? You don't expect him to drive himself. The problem was in the court, and I don't think the judge himself, in due respect, you know, I don't think he knew that the system would fail him. Maybe he wouldn't even have pronounced the judgment because it has almost been done in vain. And when we bring ridicule to our courts, for God's sake, nothing is going to hold water in our society.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing is going to hold water. So I think it was a very sad development, and I will not indict the NDLEA chief if there was nobody around to arrest him. So be it. At least make the attempt.
I know what it's like.
I know the kind of security cover he brought. Let it be on record that there was an attempt to arrest him.
That's the EFCC.
That's the EFCC. Make an attempt. The police could have made an attempt to arrest. Sir, you're under arrest. If his authorities now come beat you up or slap you, whatever, you go to the hospital and find a complaint, then we'll take up the case from there. But that didn't happen. Mm-hmm. They probably escorted him to his car.
I think you made a very valid point about the system. So when we say that the system is flawed, this is one of the things that we're saying. Like, you have strong individuals, but very weak, inefficient system.
Yes, and that is because the truth of the matter is that there are different laws for different people in this country. That's just what it is. Don't let's have any argument. There are different laws. That's the way we operate. Things are personalized. How can you tell the NDLEA chief to be arrested? No. It doesn't work like that in other countries, man. That everybody wants to jackpot to. One of the reasons why you are so eager to go to those countries and go on vacation in those countries and so on and so forth is because the people have made... There is nobody that doesn't have a criminal instinct. If I know, for example, that there are no cameras or whatever and nobody cares about whether I beat the light or not, when nobody is looking across the road, is a normal human whatever. What differentiates us from other people like in those other countries, the law is applied to the letter, whoever you might be, whoever. And I use a very good example of the UK. You understand? The law took its course. It took its course. Maybe you say there are a few biases here, but it still took its course publicly.
I was discussing with the UK's Deputy High Commissioner.
I saw his tweet. He said you were very hard on him. You rough.
Well, it was a great session.
He said you were hard on him. I saw his tweet. You're very wicked.
It was great. So during the break, we're having a conversation about the UK and how Truss was in the office for a few weeks and now everything. And here's something that really struck me. He said that the UK is very transparent. They have laws that, you know, take care of themselves.
Yes.
Laws that don't take care of anybody. Like, the laws is meant to take care of the people.
Yes.
So anybody that's looking at UK from the outside, you feel that, why is it people so disorganized? They don't know that. It's a system that is working.
Yes.
It's not that, you know, people make the system work. The system works.
Did you ask him how the system worked to the point that in the UK now, they have a prime minister of Indian origin.
Mm-hmm.
They have the Lord Mayor. mm-hmm. of the big of their major whatever of India, not the deputy Pakistani. Those are where systems work. The real English people will not be happy, understandably, but the system the is system. The system. They've beaten them at the game. They have beaten them. I'd like to, if somebody can get me a very good international affairs analyst, let's look at how the Indians are now emerging politically. The vice president of America is of Indian origin. You know, I'd like somebody to come and explain how all this phenomenon started. One thing I like about the Indians, and I've always said, if you bring, especially in the UK that I'm relatively slightly familiar with, you find that no matter how well placed, look, Rishi, even being prime minister and whatever, and English and whatever, is still Hindu. He still does all his traditions.
Yes,
they speak their language. They stick together, you know, irrespective. Somebody said that when in colonization or whatever it was, the Indians took the business. They took the economy. They did this. They did that. Nigerians only took the religion. Now the churches in the UK, there are more Nigerian churches.
Oh my God! Yeah, I mean, the reason for this system conversation is that. How is it that, you know, we've failed to make our system strong? We've not been able to see beyond tribe. We've not been able to see beyond religion. We've not been able
because we are not factored that way. We have our system of governance is very faulty. It doesn't work for us. I'm telling you.
Now that's what we talked about this morning.
It's a pity. It's a pity what will work for most African countries is a kind-hearted dictatorial system.
Kind-hearted
dictatorial system, like you have in Rwanda.
Like you have
in Rwanda. I don't know about Uganda, but Rwanda is working. Okay. Rwanda is working very well. And Kagame is on his fourth term or so?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, you need, and he whips everybody into line. Before you can call yourself a pastor, you have to go to Bible college.
That's right.
And be certified. We need that kind of discipline. This current democracy that we have is not going to get us anywhere. I stand by it. People will say, there must be democracy. We are not of the Western world stock. Our own stock is different. And you must admit that. Look at China. How much of democracy do you have?
See, let's be going.
We have to go.
Yes.
Yay.
I swear.
And there's some hot stories.
It's time. Like I say, it's just time.
Look at this one.
Yeah, I know.
Cartel for this one. This is the most painful one. So Dixon. Hakeem Dixon is running for it. And I was going to say, how come a lot of the people running for governorship in the other parties are ex-APC people? There must be a reason.
Yeah, there must be a reason.
I'll address it on Friday.
Yes, we have to go now. Thank you so much for coming. Lagos, that's our show. I mean, it's a packed one this morning. So we'll be back tomorrow at 7:30, though. Stay here on Nigeria Info.
And I want to assume that you would run because I want to give the listeners context for the conversation.
In 2019, you were running mate to Atiku Abubakar. What did you learn then that you will not repeat this time?
Yes, when is the president coming out to address us?
There's a few things. One, I have a burden and a passion for young people.
The fact that you have elected a man does not mean then you begin to order him around. The president will do whatever is good for the country at any given time.
Mr. Adesina, isn't the president responsible to the people?
What should the next president do to root out stakeholders who are complicit?
You fire those that need to be fired, are fired.
It's looking like a brand new Chelsea, attacking with so much fluidity. Now, what can you say about that, Martin? I know you follow Chelsea quite closely.
I live close to the Chelsea training ground. That's what you mean by that. I'm not a